With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
All right, here it is, the first day after Christmas, and it's supposed to be like, you know, that whole Christmas experience has put you in a joyous mood and goodwill, and I come in and I got to deal with this crap. I mean, so here's the way this works. We have a fantasy league. Most of you know, because many of you, of course, are patrons of the Empire Electrons, the leading America's fantasy football team and the leading merchandising fantasy team in the country. And people have been fired up because we have the most valuable fantasy player in history. We've got Lamar Jackson. We've come on last year. We didn't win our second game till the last week of the season. We wound up with two wins. That wound up putting us in 11th place in the league. This year, we were in the 7th and 8th place game, won it, and won it big, gives us seven wins after a two-win season. And here's the kicker, and this is the kicker of all kickers, is we win the high score of the week. The first time in our franchise's history. My front office, I walk in today, and all the faces are long faces. And I say, what's the matter? We were high score for the week. What are you doing? And they said, no, you don't understand. I said, what? They said, that mean commissioner. I said, who? They said, that Lachlan McLean guy. I said, you mean Lachlan McLean? They said, yeah, him. I said, what about it? They said, we don't get our money. We don't get our prize. I said, what? I marched right into the commissioner's. Now, by the way, he won. So, of course, so all's right with the world. He won, so he's talking spit to Andy, who had the worst fantasy team he's ever had, to Jason, who won't pay, and I'm gonna encourage him not to pay, by the way. And I walk in, he's using my office today. He's doing a show for Kansas City in my office. I can't get in my office. That's okay. Jason's a friend. He wouldn't do this to me. So I walk in, and it's bad enough that I win the high score of the week. Okay, it's the high total of the week. The Empire Electrons won their game by 93 points. They won 143-50. Thank you. Locke won the championship over Diener, so he's happy. It's all he cares about. He gets it. Because as he told me himself, this is the part that gets me. It was when he was caught having to admit that he wanted to throw the Electrons out. Because my first year, we were only drafting New York players. And he said, no, yeah. I said, what was that about? He said, because this is my one of my favorite lines of all time. It's serious fantasy football. It's serious pretend football. It's serious cops and robbers. You don't understand. You may play on your street, but on our street, this is serious pretend. We have a serious make-believe grown-up children's game going on. Not that bullshit you're doing. I don't know what you're doing over there. This is serious pretend football. All right, so I said, okay, well, I'm serious. So I go get sponsorship from the Amtrak Northeast Corridor Empire Electrons presented by Ronzoni Pasta so we can draft all players in any of the teams in the Northeast Corridor or as well as Italian-American players, which is great. And we put together a massive rebuilding year, get to 7-9, double our merchandising, and win the first ever high score of the week for the last week. And I walk in, and the guy who's in charge of serious fantasy, not goofy, serious pretend football. This is a guy who runs the serious pretend football. So my guys take it as serious pretend football, and they play their pretend hearts out to the last week and put the high score of the week up. And I'm told, I said, where's my $20? He said, no, you don't get $20 because you don't understand. It's on the website. He gives me the airline. It's airline policy. He gives me the airline policy answer. He gives me, no, it's on the website. It's on the rules are on the website. He gave me the American Airlines answer. He gave me the, no, you don't understand. Why can't I get the money? No, that's policy. It's airline policy. You made the policy. You made the stupid policy for your serious pretend football. I'm outraged. It's an outrage. It's an absolute outrage.
I just came from the media. What are you pissed
I can't do the whole rant again. It's not fair to ask me to generate that kind of emotion again.
That's fair.
I walked in today and Mr. Commissioner, I meet my front office people for the Empire Electrons. Yeah, he's the commissioner. And I walk in and they're all long faced. I'm like, why should you be so sad? I talk to our director of marketing and our GM and the entire sales force, and they're over there and they're sitting at their desks just moping. And I said, why? They said, because we had the high score of the week. We win the $20. They said, no, that Lachlan McLean guy said that you can't get the money. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you can't have it. So I confront Locke its show. Wait a minute. So I come out of the office, and he does the perfect thing. He has the perfect smug approach. He runs the league, makes up rules just because he doesn't like certain rules. And so you're not allowed to have kickers, so poor Giorgio got left out. You can't have defense. You can't have this. You can't have that. And then he gives me the airline response. That's what put me over the edge. I said, why don't we get $20? He said, no, we don't give high scores in the last week. It's on the website. He gave me the airline answer. It's airline policy. He had the audacity to give me airline policy and walked away just like they do at the airlines. It was, no, I'm sorry, sir. It's airline policy. And took off.
So he's American Airlines.
He's turned into the American. But this is the guy who told us in one of the great lines of all time that he was thinking to try to push me out of the league because I didn't understand it was serious fantasy football. That's my favorite. It was serious pretend football. As I said earlier, it was serious. This is serious cops and robbers. We're not doing like that when you're in your neighborhood, where you use a comb for a pretend gun. We go get the good pretend guns from Toys R Us. What are you kidding? This is serious. So I say, my guys hear that and they say, the commissioner said serious pretend football and they are serious through the end of the season, play their ever loving pretend asses off and wind up getting the money. And then we're told, you can't have it because he decided, and he walked right by. That's the part that I like best. He gave me the airline smugness. Just over, no, we don't. And then I said, what? He said, no, it's on the website. Didn't you read the rules? It's on the website. It's on the website. He gave me the airline policy answer. It was unbelievable. This league is getting more and more entertaining. First of all, I found out it was serious fantasy football. And then I got it's airline policy response from the commissioner who won the league. So now, just for the record, Jason Anderson has not paid his league fees. And I am going to join him in solidarity and encourage him not to pay them. Unless he wants to give them to me in lieu of the last week's money. That's what he should do. He should give me $20 and say, here, I'm righting a wrong. And I'm giving you the $20. I think it's $50 to play. So just give me 20.
I think it was 60, actually.
All right, even better. Give me 20, and I'll call it square. And let's just. Hey, you know what, pal? And this guy, I'm in no mood for you two. If you don't like it, turn the station. I got three other guys telling me how funny it is and how much they're enjoying it. So turn the station. There's plenty of buttons on there. Go listen to Dr. Ruth somewhere. You get sex tips. You probably could use it. I mean, so it's unbelievable. I got the airline answer. The airline answer for this. Unbelievable. Loved it. Loved it. So I'm going to get Jason. Jason is in my studio right now doing a show for Kansas City. I got to find when he's on a commercial break. He won't have time to come in here and visit, but I'm going to encourage him, literally, to give me $20. Yes, I've never done that before. Only so I can take a picture of it and put it on Locke's door so he sees this is him paying his fees. I made the policy. Oh, you didn't see it? It's on my webpage. The guy who moves to Kansas City can pay a reduced fee. What his job is to give the guy who wins the last week his $20. That's his league fee. So I've decided that that's what we're doing. Oh, state your business. Now we're being interrupted. Here's the worst fantasy coach in the league who's going to come in and take a shot now. Come on. Your boy has put me over the edge, by the way. Put me absolutely over the edge.
A guy did text in and said worst radio
ever. Yeah, that's what I said.
What did you say about sex tips?
Yeah, I said, I don't like this. Change the channel. Go listen to Dr. Ruth. She's got a serious show. You get sex tips. My guess is everybody could use that. So,
well, I got Locke ranting about you back there.
Fine. Well, he can rant all he wants. It's a bunch of crap. He gave me the airline answer. He gave me the, it's on the webpage. It's on the webpage. Didn't you read the rules? It's on the web. And gave me the smug. He walked by me and said it over his shoulder. I mean, is American Airlines have openings? This guy is set up for vice presidency right now. Call Drew. Drew should get him a job right there. Unbelievable. No, you don't understand. It's on the webpage. No, it's on the webpage because it's serious. This is the guy who told me to my face last week, We didn't want you in because this is serious fantasy football. Oh, serious. As it's serious pretend football.
He did write it on the page.
It's serious.
I kind of wrote it on the page.
Well, I guess check my page. My new page says if you move to Kansas City, instead of paying the whole league fee, you pay the guy who wins the last week $20. You get him for a reduced fee, and we call it square. You didn't read the page because it's serious fantasy football.
Lock's turtling on this. Jason's right there and won't even bust in the office.
Yeah, Jason. So, Jason, I'm going to get $20 from Jason, and that's going to be his league fee because didn't you check us on my webpage? Because it's serious fantasy football. My guys played their pretend asses off till the last week, so they deserve some reward. I got a front office up there that's moping. They're walking around sulking. They work their brains out, and I get the he gave me the American Airlines. He didn't even stop. He didn't break stride. He kept walking it over the shoulder. It's on the webpage. Didn't you read it? It's on the webpage. Well, excuse me. It's airline policy. I'll just go, you know, I'll go lay on the tarmac because that's your airline policy. Well, I got new policy on my webpage. Last week, guy gets $20 from a guy in Kansas City. Didn't you read it? It's on the webpage. That's the way it is. You want to say something, go ahead, but it's just, I did serious fantasy football, damn it. My boys rallied, played their pretend asses off. I got nothing to show for it. That's just wrong. Congratulations on your championship, by the way.
Is my mic on? I can't even tell. Is it on? Because I just like to say, we have raised money in this community for so many wonderful charitable causes. Uh-huh. Cram the Van and the V Foundation.
Right.
And I'd like to announce today the new charitable endeavor we are supporting. It's called RIF. Reading is Fundamental. It is called Learn to Read. Since before week one.
Oh, wait a minute.
The conditions of the league have been posted on the website.
American Airlines? Yeah. No, he's right here. What time you want him there? Vice President. I understand. Well, certainly his attitude fits perfectly with your corporate culture. No, he'll be there. Certainly. Not a problem. American wants you to. Can you start tomorrow? They said. They got a guy who's really pissed about their policy. Tell him about reading. That'll calm him down. Do that. That'll work well. No, that's good.
We will consider a change to the league rules, Bob. Okay. For next year, if we even have this dopey league, because all I get is criticism. But this year, when you didn't make the playoffs, you're done.
That's it. Oh, that's it. When my guys don't look at it that way, you telling the people in the National Football League don't play the last 3 weeks, you said it's serious fantasy football, damn it. And they were serious. I'm proud of them. I'm buying them something. I'll go into my own pocket.
Now, here's the thing. Lot can't hear me, but
he can't.
Your biggest problem that you have, Bob, is not with Lachlan McClain.
Who's it with?
It's with Double D, the Vice President, Drew Diener, who is mad. Oh, big Bob Valvano. All he wants is New York guys, and then he trades the GD first pick to Lock so he can get Saquon Barkley. Damn it, Bob. Oh, yeah. Diener's not happy with you.
But that's his stage persona. He has to be angry.
And that didn't even happen, by the way.
That's
Bob
also,
did not trade
also
me.
True. We didn't trade. So it was a misguided rant on top of it. So.
Oh, you guys didn't trade?
No.
Oh, because I was kind of needling him along. Yeah,
that's okay. Drew and I have a nice working relationship. He gets mad. I call him the angry little man, and we all go about our business. But this guy prides himself on rational, logical discussion. This was a serious. I was told, not like cops and robbers in your neighborhood would use like combs and spit. This is like serious cops and robbers, serious pretend football. And I go give my guys a pep talk after week 14 and say, fellas, it's serious. We win our last two games, and win the last week, and they come in, and I walk in, and I expect to see jovial, happy faces in the office, and nothing but long say. You need to talk to Marie in accounting. She is so devastated. I'm not sure she's coming to work tomorrow, and that's on you and your webpage. And she can read. We all can read. Unbelievable.
It's been fun.
I'm glad you. Who, by the way, this is the third year we're doing this. We're trying to figure out since now we have to have a history. Who's won the first 2 years? Did Brian you? You didn't
Not
win.
Me. Brian won 1 year.
Who won this last year?
Locke
did Diener win last year? You won last year also?
And no, my, God, no. I
might have been
win.
Double D.
Andy was like second or third.
I was like
Diener
second,
won last year. So it was that was the Octron's first year in the league last year, and Diener won. The first year Brian won, and then now the commissioners won and screwed us out of $20. So I'm going to try and get Jason to give me $20 and call his entry fee square. I think
good
that's
luck getting
fair.
Any money out of that.
No,
cheapskate McScrooge.
Yeah, well, he owes you 60, and he's not going to pay you this way I feel like I'm doing a good thing. I've got him to fork over a little dough, which should appease Double D and the other guys, and then I got my.
Well,
just
I'll take
money.
It out of Drew's share then. That'll work.
All right, that works for works for me too. All right, so congratulations
thank
on your.
You.
Oh man, just unbelievable, just incredible.
We're checking on Jason.
Seeing if he's on commercial break.
Tell Locke to take Anderson's fee from his free bonus from Bovada that he got in the betting league with Easy. People don't forget. It's unbelievable. Oh, thank you, sir. I still enjoy Angry Bob. Very nice. Go Electrons, another guy says. Another one says, I've only heard the first 10 seconds of the V show. I already like where this is headed.
I was wondering, we were doing a quick on-the-fly meeting back there, and you just came storming in, and you're like, I'm pissed.
I was hot. Would outrage over fake football be considered fake outrage? It's a good question. It's a legitimate question, sir.
It's two negatives equal a positive.
Yes, and I think part of the problem is he told me to take it seriously. So I do, and then I win, and then they say don't take it so seriously. What the hell? Is American Airlines still on hold? Because, I mean, that job is not going to stay open forever.
It is amazing.
He fits right in. Well, and he gave me, that's just what they would say. If they get, finally you push them, they get pissed, they would say, so can you read? That's a wrong thing to say to a guy who desperately needs to be in Cleveland and only can't get there because of your bleeping policy. And that's good. Yeah, tell that guy, can you read? Yeah, that'll calm him right the hell down. Unbelievable. So I'm buying my staff something for the holiday. I'm going to get something. And
watches?
No, I'll probably be a little snarky. Maybe something that everybody here would like and let everybody have some except Locke.
Except Locke and Drew? Yes.
And I'll leave one on the outgoing mail, mailed in a package to Jason in Kansas City, just to make sure he gets one, too. And Locke doesn't get one because of his policy. Guy says,
are you going to give one to Drew in his misguided rants?
No, dude, that's part, very important, much important part. The girl is screwing up his stage persona. Because he's too damn happy. He's so happy. He's got to pretend to be mad because he's so happy. It's wonderful to see. He's become a Hallmark movie. He really has, and it's very cool to see. He's got pictures of them together, and he's smiling. He's got to get on and pretend to be outraged at something. And think about that. He pretends he's mad at me over a trade I didn't even make. I mean, that's he's clutching at straws. But this guy, oh, man, here's the league. I shouldn't say this because it's going to ruin my whole rant, but he gets so much spit for this league. He really does. I don't know why. Brings it on.
No, he really is people Roger just, Goodell.
He's just trying to run the damn thing, and people are crushing over stuff that doesn't. Now, this deserves to be crushed over because why you just decide. It's like Roger Goodell said, if you're eliminated from the playoffs, don't play at all this week. I mean, just go out there and we're going to play Australian rules football just for fun, for yucks. No, we can't do that. Why? Because we're a serious football league. I'm instructed by the commissioner to take it seriously. My guys drop 143 on the board. 143-46. 143-46. I won, 143-82. I won by 93. Nothing.
Wait, was that for like fifth place or whatever?
Seventh place. Last year we were 11th. This year we finished seventh with 7 wins.
I thought fifth place got like $5 or something.
I'm not in fifth. I got seventh, so it doesn't faze me.
I thought seventh place.
Seventh gets nothing because it's his rule. Did you read the webpage? He's afraid to come in because he knows I'm going to jump him. He's not quite in, so I don't have to ask him to state his business yet. Nope, he didn't come all the way in. Very wise decision. Someone no mood for him either.
He didn't break the plane.
He did not break the plane. Oh, man. Yes, we got guests. You want guests? I got your guests right here. I got guests. We got Seth Greenberg.
You always have to grab it when you freaking say it.
You got to say it. Seth Greenberg going to join us from ESPN. Seth Davis from CBS.
This is.
It's Sethapalooza, as Nick
called
it.
This is a bucket list show for me.
Why?
I've always wanted to have a show with both Seths on it.
Not at the same time.
Yes. Seth Greenberg and
Seth
Davis.
Not at the same time.
No. But
that would be interesting, actually.
Yeah, that'd be great. 12:30 is Seth Greenberg, so on the other side of this break. 1:30 is Seth Davis. I've always wanted to have one with the Seth, and I've always wanted to have one with the Jays. I've wanted a Jay Billis and Jay Williams.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's any other Jays.
There was another Jay. I forgot.
Forgot.
Jay Lowe.
Jay Leno.
Jennifer Lawrence. By the way,
Jay Moore.
The big picture of her that she gave all that money to Norton's in the cardiac unit, and they dedicated it in her family's name. She wasn't there, but her mom and dad were. And it was a nice moment of the week.
Aw, that is really cool. Very nice. Very nice stuff.
Does anyone want to do a serious XFL fantasy league? Sir, I think you're barking up the wrong tree here because after my experience with this fantasy pretend football. Serious fantasy, that's one of my... Serious.
You're going to... Oh,
you may be on my tombstone. Here lies a man who learned the value of serious pretend football.
We only have 4 minutes. But I know this is going to... I agreed with Locke when he said that.
What?
for the series. I know what he meant. He meant like
of course
play.
You did.
Play. There it is. I knew it. I knew it because the second I said.
That's the sound effect for Johnny Two Sides.
That's he talks out of both sides of his mouth.
Talks out both sides of his mouth. That's one of Nick's characters. That's why we need the camera. That's why you need to be on TV so people can see you distorting your face like that, talking out of both sides of your mouth.
What the hell has gotten into you? It's a day after Christmas. You're supposed to be married.
Texter says, I'm sorry. These are the texts. The Electrons have so many Italian-Americans on the roster and in their fans, and this business with Locke hasn't been disposed of. That's a great point. How in the world have we not? Has he not suddenly seen the light when it comes to changing the policy, if you know what I'm talking about? Oh, man. So we shall see. All right, let's see. What are we doing here? We're going to step aside because Schweikenfelder is going to join us, right? Which Seth?
This
first?
Is Seth Greenberg.
I want to tell you this.
I texted him. I told him I got my ass kicked in dreidel. He didn't respond at all. He just sent back 12:30. I was like, all right.
Yeah, well, maybe he didn't play dreidel. It's kind of a stereotype. You grew up, you didn't play bocce just because you were Italian. You didn't whack anybody. So I'm sure you might have.
How do you know?
I don't think you did. I have to tell you this. I don't have to, but I want to. I went to Genesis Diamonds. I don't even have the copy for them, because this is my spot for them today, because this is way better. I went to see them before Christmas, as I did, to get my Christmas gifts. And I couldn't help but notice, I walked in, and it was like, hi, I know you, hi, I know you, hi, I knew you, hi, I knew you, hi, I know you. They dip, I don't know, I can't speak for every person in the back room or anything. But out front, it is the same group of people all the time. And to me, I don't know about you, but to me, that says a lot about a company. Because when the people are all still there, it means they like working there, they feel appreciated, they feel respected, and it also means, quite frankly, that they know their product line, they are good at what they do, and the company recognizes that, and as the customer, you're the beneficiary of all that. Because you walk in, and they know their products. They know what they carry. They're non-commissioned salespeople, so it's not like they look at you and you can feel it all. I got to get my hooks in this one. They want to say, how can I help this guy? And I went in this year and I wanted something with some color. I mean, there's beautiful diamonds and this, but I wanted something with some color. And I made your mama Takori girl this year. That was very cool. But they found a beautiful part of the line from Takori, and it absolutely fit the budget, and it looked spectacular. And I walked out there again and was joking with some of the people on the staff because I've seen them. And you could say, well, you do a spokesman for them. That's how they are with anybody who walks in. They're just good people. This speaks to their company. This speaks to the quality that they put behind, the emphasis they put on quality in their products, in their relationships, in their customer service. It makes it an absolute pleasure. Let's not kid ourselves. Very often when you're going to a jewelry store, it's for something with some emotional impact in your life. It's a significant milestone. It's something that you're celebrating or commemorating or whatever. You want something that you feel is very special, and when the person sees it, they'll feel it's very special. So you want somebody who believes in what they're doing, and the company puts a lot of trust and faith in what they're doing. That's the whole experience at Genesis. I can't say it enough. Wendy, of course, is there. She talks to everybody. She's a delight. And then the whole sales staff, I was like, I know her, I know her, I know him, I know him, I know her. It's like nobody changes. And I asked them, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, that people have been with the company forever. To me, that's a sign of a quality organization. So if you want to do business with a quality group of people, and do it with the folks at Genesis Diamonds, they once again treated me spectacularly well, and they will do that for you as well. Shelbyville Road Plaza, next to Trader Joe's. Tell them we sent you. They're the best, and you deserve the best. ESPN 680 105.7. More to come here on ESPN Radio.
Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
So if you could identify that music as from the video game, did you know that, Crean? Was it? No, Crean didn't know it either. So I don't think it's very well known. It's from a college, a video, a basketball game called College Slam, I'm told. Is that right? Or was that, were you just trying to get me to say something that sounds like a double entendre for a really, you know, crazy fraternity weekend or something? But all right, so College Slam is what that was from. And we're talking college hoops. Kentucky and Louisville matchup coming up here in just a few days, 2 days to be exact, December 28th, 2019 will be the last time they meet this decade. 3:45 p.m. Eastern time, and we'll preview that game if we can find Seth Greenberg, who Nick might have inadvertently ticked off by referring to playing dreidel or something. Maybe he had a bad experience with a dreidel. How do you know? Maybe his cousin threw a dreidel at him when he was a kid, and he still has a scar, and he doesn't like mentioning it, and he's not going to do the show. You don't know him that well. Maybe his big brother, Seth, took a dreidel and stabbed him right in the... Those things are pointy. You can hurt somebody with a dreidel. So maybe that was what it was. Or maybe he's just busy. I don't know. But we'll talk to him about that matchup. We'll preview that. We'll also talk about college basketball in general, where everybody, again, going to the college football mindset, where if you lose, it's I realize in some parts of the world, especially some fan bases, it's absolute catastrophe. But everybody loses. It's college basketball. It's not college football. You're trying to play your way in. College football, you spend the year trying to keep yourself from playing your way out. So a loss is, oh, college basketball, you lose, it's rats, damn it, sucks, I'm mad, call the local call-in show, the coach is an idiot, and then get on with your life because you got next week another chance to try and earn some points and move forward and get into the postseason. That's what it comes down to. So we'll see if we can find, I believe we have found, the aforementioned and multi-talented, multitasking Seth Greenberg, who joins us. Seth, happy holidays to you, and appreciate you being with us.
Brother.
How are you?
How you doing? Happy holidays, happy new year, and all that good stuff. Hope you're feeling well.
Yeah, no, everything's good. Very nice day yesterday with the fam. We all ate way too much food and gave way too many presents and had a nice day. So that's kind of what we do, kind of how we roll. But we're 2 days away from, obviously, the matchup in the regular season that two fan bases look at tremendous interest and excitement. And I'm not sure if coming into the year people thought Louisville would be ranked third and Kentucky 19th. I don't know how much significance that is. It's not college football. You don't play your way out. You play your way in. They both have plenty of time to go forward and play their way in. But there are legitimate talking points here. And let's start with Kentucky, who just they're not going to be, I don't think. They may be a streaky shooting team and have some days where they shoot it really well. But Seth, they're going to have to learn to play around any kind of real perimeter game, aren't they? Because it certainly doesn't look like he's going to wave a magic wand and turn them into sharpshooters from out there.
Yeah, they've got to get Nate Sestina. He's actually their best shooter.
Yeah, he is.
And they can put in a flat ball screen space and knock down the three, which should open up driving lanes for Ashton Hagans and Tyrese Maxey. Maxey should be a good shooter, not a great shooter, a good shooter. You know, Johnny Juzang has not developed what John needs, that toughness and that competitive spirit that he needs in a guy that he can really, really count on. So this team's got to win on the defensive end. This team's got to win by playing ahead of the defense. This team's got to win by using Sestina to his strengths. And then they've got to get some consistent with someone up front. I mean, it really comes down to, I mean, EJ and Nick, one of those two guys has got to emerge and step up where they, you know, you're going to get 12 and 8 out of that guy.
You know, I had some of Sestina's games at Bucknell, and I realize it's Bucknell, and, you know, say what you want, but I mean, he was a good player. It was obvious he was a good player, and it was obvious he was a good shooter. And when he first got here, he wouldn't shoot it. And I don't, you know, Cal doesn't love the 3-point shot. I don't know whether he was feeling self conscious, you know, with all these NBA guys, I shouldn't be shooting it from there, or Cal was trying to wean him away from that. But looking at them, I mean, he clearly, at last game, was instructed to look for that shot where early in the year he wasn't. Was that, you think, or just a Cal coming to terms with what his team is, or the kid just acclimating, or what do you attribute the difference
to? Cal figures his team out, Bobby. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I think early on, there are certain things that he thinks are important. And then as the season goes along, he kind of says, all right, how am I going to get this guy in position to play to his strengths? And I think you say, look, we need outside shooting. This guy can make shots. How am I going to get him open looks? And the flat ball screen, and maybe some guys curling off of him, and him spacing and popping, and some trail drags. I mean, these are the ways he's going to get Nate shots. And I think you're going to see more and more of that. No one does a better job in between December and January that Cal saying, all right, this is how we're going to win games, and this is what we got to do, and this is what we're going to do to get those guys the shots they need. But, I mean, Ashton's got to show some semblance of consistency. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I think Keon Brooks can give him a little bit of scoring. But one of those other big guys got to step up. I mean, you know, look, they have a chance. I mean, look, they got to play their way into the NCAA tournament. They're not an NCAA tournament team right now, nor is North Carolina. So Louisville's have done kind of enough, I guess, to put themselves in that conversation. But, you know, the SEC being down, this is the last non-conference real opportunity. They, you know, the Utah loss was bad. The Evansville loss was bad. They got a good Michigan State win. They need another decent win at home. This is a chance for them to get a win that resonates.
Talking to Seth Greenberg from ESPN, let's talk from Louisville a little bit, but now it's a good bridge because we're not only talking Louisville, we're talking Louisville as it relates to Kentucky and some of the things you talked about. If they're going to use Sestina as a screener and a popper, I mean, if it's a big, well, if it's a five, I mean, won't be a five. I don't know. I guess what I'm leading to is the one place that teams have tried to exploit Louisville, as you know, if you're watching tape, is doing different things by running a big man, a five man on a ball screen at the top, and then they either try and dive him to the basket before that guy can help, because they switch everything one through four. They really hard hedge with the five. Sometimes if you can drag him away, it opens up a passing lane. Right. If they do that and they pop them, they had some success doing that against Louisville earlier in the year also. So how do you think that pertains to Louisville's defensive game plan with Sestina?
Yeah, I think if he's at the four, they'll switch it. I think if he's at the five, they'll probably push up. I think what I would do after watching the Utah tape is I push up and go under.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like what Utah did was much more physical to Kentucky, and Utah, what they did was they pushed up, went under on Ashton Hagans, stayed attached to Sestina, which took away those pick-and-pop threes. If I was preparing for Kentucky, where if Sestina was at the five, not at the four, because the four I'd probably switch him to, depending on if it was, well, my old teams for sure, because we didn't have anyone over 6'7" in those spots. But if I had a big, I'd push up, go under, and stay attached to him and take him off the three-point line, because you know, the one thing Nate's got to do is they're going to do that. There are people going to close out. He's got to just shot fake, and he's got to take two hard dribbles and try to, you know, throw that ball out and get by his man. But, you know, I don't think Chris will do that. I think Chris will hard hedge, and he'll basically roll up on the backside, and because of the pack line, bluff and recover. I think he'll try to disrupt the ball handler by bumping him early if he can get away with it and play it from there. I haven't seen him push up and go under.
But yep. I was just gonna ask you that though.
After watching the Utah game, I would say, why wouldn't you?
You're taking the words right out of my mouth. That's what I was wondering. If, you know, you don't want to make too much of one game where all of a sudden like they've unlocked the key to the vault, but you certainly looked at that and said, that's a way that may be one of the more effective ways to play them, given what we've seen so far, what they do on the perimeter. So even, I mean, you don't have to compromise your pack line principles to do that, do you? I mean,
not at all.
I mean, that's the whole point. So that seems to me the kind of adjustment you can make relatively easily in the pack line.
Yeah, I think so. And then the other thing, look, the guard play for Louisville's got to be good, offensively and defensively. I mean, you know, and I don't mean good like take over the game good.
Right.
I mean good, just manage the game good. Be Trent Dilfer. Be Flacco. Be a guy that initiates, defends, advance passes. And then, on the road, Jordan Warren's shot selection's got to be good. I think the Sutton kid is the X factor in this game, though, in a lot of ways.
Well, I'm the president of his fan club, so you're preaching to the choir. I think he's terrific.
I'll be your vice president.
Okay.
I'll be your vice president. I think that, you know, that could be a matchup for Sestina. And then, you know, the other end, you're going to keep him off the glass. You're going to match his toughness. I just think that guy brings his lunch pail. He's the type of guy that Chris had at Xavier all the time that was a reflection of Chris and had the same mindset of, I don't care what I have to do, I'm just going to do what I have to do to help us win.
Yeah, hey, I mean, he's a coach's dream, because that is the truth. Game ends, I swear, he doesn't know how many shots he took. He doesn't know anything other than, are we ahead? That's all I care about. Talking to Seth Greenberg from ESPN. Let me ask you, there's a lot of discussion here. Obviously that's what the discussion is, are they going to get, I agree with that. We're not talking about getting Magic Johnson kind of play out of the point guard, you know, but out of the guard position, or, you know, Michael Jordan or somebody just taking the game over, but a guy that Like, they've had some games where their assist-to-turnover ratio is very good, and then a couple of games where, especially Darius Perry, unfortunately, he, I don't know whether he gets down on himself or what, but the numbers got completely flipped, and the turnovers were high and the assists were low, and he shot a couple of air balls in the garden. He had a terrible game. So I bring that up because, you know, it's going to be those four guys. All of them can play either on the ball or off the ball. So you don't have to worry. You put any combination you want in there, basically, in Fresh Kimball, Darius Perry, and Ryan McMahon. And then the kid I wanted to ask you about, David Johnson, because you know he's from here. He's 6'5". He's got good size. You know that when you get a kid who's local, there are fans kind of just clamoring for him to get even more minutes. But when I watch, and it's not a knock on the kid, and I've said this so many times I have to give the disclaimer. It's not like I'm taking a shot at him. He just is behind the other guys in trying to play this pack line defense. If you haven't played it, you don't understand it. When he goes in, they seemingly drop appreciably defensively, and he's still taking a few too many high-risk passes to try and make the spectacular play when they don't need it. That comes with experience. So where do you see the four guards evolving, and where do you see him evolving in that rotation? Because you coached him. I should tell people that. You had him on one of your teams. Did I lose Seth? Such a long question, and now he's gone. That was a great question.
Really?
Oh, there he is. He's back. Well, you were gone, and now you're back. Hang up. Call him again.
Yeah, you hear me now?
No.
Oh.
Oh, wait. Try it now. How about now? Go ahead and say something. Anything.
Yeah,
anything
else. Should be good. Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
All right. So, yeah, we had him in our D station. Look, he's a talented kid. Here's the deal. You can throw him into this game. No, you're not going to throw him into this game. You're right. He could turn it over. Being in the right place defensively is going to be so important in this game, especially as hard as Kentucky has the potential to drive the basketball. The pack line will be as important as anything in this game in terms of taking away driving lanes. So, this game will be played at a different level, at a different speed, with different emotion. I'm sure he can. But right now, you're going to go walk through that door and understand what this rivalry is about, but more importantly, have played at the intensity this game is going to be played at.
Yeah. You're still clicking in and out, so I'm going to try and ask you one more question. Hopefully you'll hear it before you disappear. I always lament the fact that I think basketball is influenced by the college football mentality, which is, oh, don't play yourself out. You know, one loss, you got to go ready to hang yourself. Basketball, you have the whole season to play your way in. So because of that, I still think people lose their minds so much when the number one team loses. It's basketball. Everybody loses. But having said that, it seems like we do have a turnover at the top far more frequent than we've had in recent years. How do you see that playing out as we go forward?
I think Gonzaga has a chance to separate themselves, that's for sure, because of their schedule. They got at BYU, at St. Mary's. But here's the deal. I lose my mind on this, Bob, and I hope I don't lose you here. But like Kobe didn't play, college basketball survived. And LeBron didn't play, and Garnett didn't play. And so James Wiseman's not playing. Say the four of the top five guys in the draft aren't playing. It makes no difference. Here's the deal. Teams will emerge. Players will emerge. The games will be competitive. Guys will be playing themselves in. Teams like Kentucky and North Carolina need to now, each and every game is that much more important. There's no such thing as an upset in a lot of ways because no one has separated themselves. There's not a team that you look at and say they're that much better than anyone else. So I think it's great for college basketball. It is, to me, maybe the future, because when this is a byproduct of so many kids leaving and is the product watered down, I wouldn't say it's watered down. It's just going to be different. And I think we're in for an incredible next 2.5 months. I think Gonzaga has a chance to run the table. I think behind them, whether it's Kansas or Ohio State, which is the Big Ten, is the best conference of college basketball, whether it's Louisville, whether it's Duke, who we forget to talk about because I think Duke has as much room for growth as any team in the country because they got a low post scorer in Vernon Carey. They got a perimeter guy, a point guard, and a defender in Trey Jones. You've got an X factor in a lot of ways to me in Joey Baker, a guy that makes just a ton of shots now who's important to them. They got athletic wings. I think after Gonzaga, this season within the Power Five conferences, you're going to see everyone lose, and it's going to be hard to win, and you're going to need to play well to win no matter who you're playing. So
I think it's great for college basketball. I'm excited about the season.
I said I was going to let you go after that, but you opened a can of worms that I want to kind of jump in on. If you had a magic wand then, and that means you could control what the NBA Players Association voted on and the NCAA, what environment would you create? Because you seem very optimistic that the game will go on fine no matter who leaves and how many leave. And realistically, how many can leave? I mean, there's only so many places
exactly.
that they could go. So how would you see this playing out?
I'd see it played out in 2 years. We're going to have those the cream of the crop will be up to leave and put their name in a draft. The thing that concerns me, and I say it all the time, is if the G League goes to $125,000, you're going to see high school kids who think they're pros stop going to school, decide hopefully go to the G League, get the $125,000, which is $75,000 after taxes. They got to pay for their housing, they got to pay for their meals, they're going to buy a car, and then the guys that don't make it 3 years later. have nowhere to go back to, and that really concerns me. If the NBA really cares about these kids, if they do something like that, they better have an academic component into it because it creates something. The game's not changing, and that sounds cliche-ish about the front of the jersey, but the same people have been sitting in the stands at Louisville for 30 years, and the same people have been sitting in the stands at Duke for 30 years. And, you know, if guys leave, the cream will rise to the top and to the best programs. There'll be some outliers, but our game's not changing. People are passionate about the college game and their school, and they have something. They'll never be as invested in some G League team, all right, than they will be invested in their school. And, we will lose. You know, look, I would love to see James Wiseman play. We're going to lose some great players, but we're also going to continue to have great games, competitive games, and more intrigue. It's going to be harder to select the field. It's going to even be harder to seed the field. Championship week's not going anywhere. March Madness isn't going anywhere. And college basketball's not going anywhere.
All right. That seems like a fine place to call a pause to our discussion, my friend. Thanks, Seth. It's always a pleasure.
Bobby, you're the best.
Talk brother. To you
Enjoy
soon.
The game this weekend.
Happy New Year
Bye,
to buddy. You. Take care. Seth Greenberg with us here on The V Show. We've got a good, solid connection here at the end. Ha. The guy says, is the Sestina talk being overblown? He was only 2 of 11 before the Ohio State game. That was why, and I don't want to do that. Well, I've seen him, but that's why I keep bringing up having seen him at Bucknell, because I realized that his numbers were not dazzling here. That was my point, though. It's not a kid that is just coming up to the college level and you're basing your evaluation on potential. You were looking at it based on what he's done. And he can shoot the ball. And so I was wondering, was his reluctance because he missed his first few shots? Was his reluctance because Cal didn't really want him pulling the trigger out? The Cal does not love the three-point shot. Mike Pratt has visited with us about that many times. He's certainly far from in love with it. You got that. Or was it the kid himself was just a little, I don't say intimidated, because he's certainly not intimidated, but the thought, well, gee, I'm not at Bucknell anymore. I'm not the guy that's got to carry the load. I'm not going to come out and just, start firing away. I don't know. But I believe if they're going to get – it's kind of like Luke Hancock. I mean, Luke came out, and if you remember, I still remember how people were not very nice to him when he first started. Oh, they took this guy from George Mason. He sucks. He's no good. He couldn't make a shot early. And then he goes on and gets the Most Outstanding Player award and really became a key contributor, a key component to that team maximizing their potential as a club. I mean, that's what I look at with him in terms of he's comes from a modest transfer situation. He was very good where he was, just like Luke was, but he didn't, he hasn't hit the ground just running and making everything he looked at. But I believe that if they're going to get as good as they will, need to be or want to be, he's going to have to be a key contributor. I think that was the same deal with Luke. And I think, 2020 hindsight, it's easy to see that when you saw how well he was playing when they were made their run. I think this kid's going to have to contribute that part of it. He brings a skill set that they don't have a lot of guys who are doing that. I don't see anybody else there picking and popping and squaring up and knocking down threes, and he's capable of doing that. So I wouldn't go by the 2 for 11. Go by, Bucknell, and if you saw him play, he certainly was capable of doing that. I don't think the Ohio State game was a fluke. He can shoot it some. So it's going to be interesting to see what Louisville does with him in their defensive scheme. I think you most of you know it, what he's talking about. When Seth is talking about, you know, pushing up and going under, he's talking about most of the time when you were taught to play a pick and roll way before it got as sophisticated as it is now. There were three ways that you could play it. You could go over the top. In other words, if you were guarding the guy with the ball and he dribbled off the screen, you closed up on the guy with the ball and you tried to go over the top of the screen. You tried to get between him and his teammate so he couldn't run you off the screen. That's an ideal way to play it. It's the hardest way to play it. Second thing you did is if you were the postman, you were defending the postman, you stepped back just a little and you let the defender go through. So in other words, if you were looking at the layout on the floor, it would be offensive dribbler, his teammate setting the screen, you're the defender of the guy dribbling the ball, and then the post defender. So he's going through. He's going between his teammate who's guarding the postman and the postman setting the screen. And if he can get through there undeterred, then he just follows the guy to the other side. The danger in that is if a guy stops right behind the screen, he can just pull up and shoot it. But that's a hard shot, and you know it's not an easy thing to do to just pull up behind him. He's shooting over one of his big teammates. If guys make that shot that easily, then you know you get beat. But that was always the way we were taught back then, way back in the day. That was the best way to play. If you came over the top, you ran the risk of getting your butt stuck on the screen, the guy turning the corner, and then you were screwed. If you went through the screen, you run the risk of the guy just standing behind the screen and shooting it. But that didn't happen that much. It was worth taking that risk. And if a guy made one or two like that, well, then you had to change your approach. But the other way was the way that they told you never to play it. It was said if you were guarding the dribble, it was called going four deep. They don't use that term anymore because, as you'll see, some teams do it by choice. Four deep would mean you're the last guy in that chain. The guy takes the ball off the screen, and so it would be the dribbler, the guy setting the screen for him, the defender of the postman, if you're the guy guarding the dribble, your teammate, and then you're in the back. So you're four deep. That should make sense even on the radio. You're the fourth guy in the back. You never did that because then the guy had all sorts of room. He had all sorts of time if he wanted to pull up behind the screen and shoot it. He could go back and reverse and go back the way he came. I mean, you're basically so far off him that he's got you at his mercy, they said. But what Seth was implying is because Kentucky has not shown the ability consistently yet to just, you know, come up, really hurt you from the perimeter, what you do is you take the guy guarding the postman and he pushes up on him. He just gets as close to him as he can. And then the guy guarding the dribbler still goes to that four deep position, but he's not that far behind him now because the postmen are squished together like an Oreo there. They're just swooshed together. So he goes behind it, and now that's why he says he's going pushing up and going under. The postman's pushing up on the guy setting the screen, and the dribbler is going under. He's going behind all of the other traffic, but he's not as far away from his man as so he can get hurt because the two postmen are in such tight quarters because the defensive postman has just pushed up on him. All right, and the reason you can do that is because, again, the most vulnerable thing you are there is if you're going to try and put a hand up on the shooter, if he stands behind that screen, you're four guys away, and he can get that shot off. But the fact of the matter is they're not showing the propensity to do that. So Utah would push up on the postman, go underneath on the guy guarding the dribbler, and you know say basically, if you want to pull up and shoot it behind that screen, go ahead, but you're not going to. You want to turn the corner and drive, and I'm going to be here waiting for you because I've gone underneath. So that is the way I think you're going to see a lot of teams play it. And like I said, it's amazing. You just have to see the game differently. You know, as an old guy who learned a game in a different generation, there are so many things now that are done. It's not like out of disrespect or anything like that. It's that the evolution of how people think about the game changes. You would never go four deep then, and now it makes sense to if the guy closes out. You tell the postman to close out and go ahead and do it. They used to talk about you never throw a cross-court pass. Oh, my God, that was like cause to get yanked out of the game back in the day. Now everybody talks about they don't call them cross-court passes. Call them diagonal passes. Now they're good things because now you're skipping. It's another form of a skip pass. A skip pass is if the ball's in the corner, it goes to the wing, then goes to the top. It goes A to B to C to D. In this case, you're throwing it from A to C or A to D. Oh, now it makes it hard on the defense. They got to cover a lot of ground. The ball moves faster than any player, so you skip pass it. That's a good thing now. That used to be a terrible thing. You never did that. I mean, that was, you know, that's something. You never let the guy go baseline. Oh, my God. you were allowed to shoot people back in the day. If you like, oh, you got to beat baseline. What happened to Tommy? You had to kill him. You let the guy go baseline. You know, now they encourage you to go baseline. They push you baseline, and they let the big guy come with his hands up, and it serves as like a double team or a triple team, because now the baseline serves the purpose of a defender. Can't go that way. The defender himself is actually there with his hands up, and then you know who the third defender is? The backboard. He can't throw the ball across to the baseline because he's going to hit the backboard. So they say, go ahead, push him to the baseline. So it's just, and again, it makes sense. But the game goes in cycles. Some things, but there was a long stretch in the 70s and 80s, 70s especially, and I shouldn't say, and 80s. Dean Smith was one of the prominent coaches. Bob Knight was in his heyday. They both ran variations of kind of a motion. You never screen the ball. Bob Knight's throwing, you never screened the ball. When you passed, you did one of three things. You screened away, you made a basket cut, you know, or you somebody set a screen for you. But you never screened the ball. Never screened the ball. Dean Smith never screened the ball. Now everybody screens the ball. The assistant coaches screen the ball. Everybody screens the ball. Ball screens all over the place. So some things go in cycles. Some things are changed because the athleticism of the players changed. Some things are changed because of the rules. With the three-point shot becoming more prevalent, you had to change your approach for how you played, you know, certain plays. But in this case, some things change from opponent to opponent. Now, that's why the pack line is so important to Chris, because they don't do a lot of overhauling it. They'll, you know, for this guy or that guy, they'll tweak it a little bit. But basically, numbers 1 through 4, point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, they switch every ball screen. Five, when the five-man screens, they hard hedge, means the guy guarding the five comes out and really tries to push the dribbler away, and then he hustles back and retakes his man. The guys in the back help to the lane so that he doesn't just get to roll to the basket unfettered, but they don't switch it. But, you know, occasionally you'll make some adjustments. This is a team that in Kentucky, based on how they want to play, I think you're going to see some teams make that adjustment, which is they are going to try and make it so that Sestina doesn't get looks from the outside, and then everybody else is helping to the lane because they need that one guy to knock some perimeter shots down. Like Maxey shot it great in the Garden early in the year. If they get that, then you got to close out on that guy. Then it opens up driving lanes, because that ultimately is what they want. They want to drive the ball. They want to get fouled. They want to get to the free throw line. That's how they want to play. But if you don't have at least one guy, preferably two guys, who can make some shots to open it up, it gets awful crowded in there. So we'll see how it plays out in this matchup. Guards are going to have to, for both teams especially, but for Louisville particularly, the guards are going to have to really step up and have a good, solid game, not let the crowd get to them, not let, you know, and if you have it, what Chris refers to as the next play mentality. You make a mistake, you got to make the next play. A lot of coaches use some variation on that, but that's, you better have that mindset in this game, because you're not going to play a perfect game. And when you make a mistake, that place is going to lose their minds. Understandably, it's a great home court advantage. You got to find a way to play through that, play around that. So that's going to be a big part of the storyline. It's a little after 1 o'clock here, and we are taking a break, and we'll come back. We'll tell you who we are, where we are, do a legal thing, all that kind of stuff, and then we'll roll on here. Seth Davis going to join us in this hour? In this hour. At 1:30? 1:30. Tasty. So we'll continue here on ESPN 680-1057.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.